Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you for another evening, another opportunity to sit at your feet to learn from you. We acknowledge that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, indeed, we're grateful that you teach us, you lead us, and you guide us into all truth. You never leave us, you never forsake us. Come and speak through us. Come and teach us. Come and open our understanding. Lord, we're so thankful that we're able ministers. You, O Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, you've made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, the spirit gives life. So Lord, speak through us, open our understanding, and help us when we hear this word to apply it in our daily lives. Don't let it be stolen from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, looking at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come unto them, they not be guilty. If I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous things, If I have not done such miraculous things among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. And then verse 26, but I will send you the advocate. Oh, sorry. Let me... I was at another translation, but anyway. Let me start from verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hated my father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both sinned and hated both me and my father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And then let's quickly go to 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. Praise the Lord. Quite a long reading, a lengthy reading. But we must remember that in those days, these epistles, for example, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, paper was scarce, wasn't available to everybody. So once the letter is read to the church, everybody listens and it's read as a whole. And so you begin to ask yourself, how did they understand? We have the whole of Ephesians. We're studying it day in, day out, year after year. Still studying it. And yet we're not able to get it all. But what happens is that Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church will just gather. Somebody will read the letter to them. This is what the apostle who is training us is saying. And they take it and go with it. Now the Bible was not in this form which we have it today. So they couldn't go back and say, okay, I want to go and open it again. So how did they understand the word of God? How did they live overcoming lives? It's a question that puzzled me for a long time. And then I now realize that there's something that is not right. You remember our pastor was preaching on Sunday and he mentioned the word. He said, ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of truth. And you see today, there's so much knowledge, so many books. Even on one line in Ephesians alone, you might find over 500 volumes, volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. But these people who are believers and who were believers before us, they lived this life without all these books. What was the secret? Why are we now so encumbered with so much? But again, the word he says there says, ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. So now we have knowledge and we have truth. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we need the truth. We need to have a knowledge of the truth. Now he says, I'm the way, the life, and the truth. So we now know who is the truth. The truth is not a concept. The truth is a being. He's Jesus Christ. He is the truth. But when we speak of the truth now, what we think of is a concept, a lie versus a truth, or truth versus lie. But the truth is Jesus. Please note that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. So now it is important that we know this truth. We know him, Jesus Christ. He says, he has given unto us all that pertains to life and godliness through a knowledge. You see, so everything he has given to us is through this knowledge. 2 Peter 1:3. Then he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Again, you have knowledge, growth. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. Then in Hosea, he says, because you reject knowledge, I reject you from being my priest. So you see that if you reject knowledge, he says, and then before that, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Let me stop here. I'll talk of a missionary who was a medical doctor. And I went to a full gospel businessmen's fellowship. And this young man was ministering that day. So he said he went to one of the villages and there was a problem. So as a missionary, people were praying, people were doing all sorts, fasting to see how they could solve this problem. And then he, being a doctor, knew that this was a small medical issue. So he gave them the solution. And everything was solved. So you could see that being a believer with the knowledge of medicine, he was able to help them. Otherwise, they would have spent all the time still praying and fasting for something that was just a little action needed. So it shows you the importance of knowledge. He has given us all that pertains to life, this glorious life, eternal life, through a knowledge of him. We need to know him. Then he says, if you reject this knowledge, because sometimes some people get this knowledge and they say, no, I just want to go in my old way. I will not accept this. Then we might now say, okay, how do I attain this knowledge? So that's why so people, many books, so many people reading, PhD, DSc, everything. But the Bible says Christ has been made unto us wisdom. In the Lord Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are in Jesus Christ. So I've spent some time explaining the importance of knowledge. And I've concluded by saying, Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom and knowledge. Now, in him, Jesus Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why do you call wisdom and knowledge treasures? Let us go to the world. Many years, you go to the bank, you have ledgers, you have tally numbers, you have different things. You use a long queue before you can be answered in the bank. When you withdraw your money, they write it in a ledger, they transfer it to another ledger. Accounting was difficult. All of a sudden, the computer comes through one man's knowledge. He sets up a different system. Whether you like it or not, everybody's now using the computer. That knowledge has transformed everywhere. You go everywhere now, you see a computer. It wasn't like that in 1980. It wasn't like that in 1970. But today, that knowledge has transformed everything. So, knowledge is not something that we joke with. But in Jesus Christ is hidden all the treasures. Because, you see, why is it a treasure? That man's knowledge has made him, I remember like yesterday when I read that Time magazine, the deal that made Bill Gates 30 a billionaire. He was 30 years old, he became a billionaire. That is in the world. But we must not forget, in verse 18, it says 15:18, John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me. The world and us are separate. They don't love us. And they can't love us. So I'm giving those examples of the world. But we, going back to John 15, which I read, Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Let's stop there. Now, I want us to picture a vine and a branch. Most of the time, all of us see ourselves as this physical being. I am this physical being. You can even say, I'm not handsome, or I'm ugly, or I'm handsome, or I'm tall. No, you're not really only this physical being. Jesus is not talking of physical here. He's talking of you and I. He says he's the true vine. His father is the husbandman. That's the overall controller. Now, he says, look at it. He's using singular. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, who takes it away? The Father takes it away. Every branch that beareth fruit, don't say, okay, because I'm bearing fruit, the Father will still purge it. And if you know a bit about gardening, when you purge a branch, it gets short. That purging is painful. But then in the next blooming or fruiting, it brings more fruits because of that purging. So it says, you are clean through the word I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, I in you. It's a command, abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. So even though it says you are called to bear fruit, never forget, you can never bear fruit without him. He is the source. He is our life. He is our everything. But here is something that for a long time, I never understood this and I didn't apply it in my life. And if we don't make this the foundation of our Christian faith, brothers and sisters, it's extremely difficult to succeed as a Christian. This is a union. If you look outside and you see any tree, look at the tree and look at the branch. Are they separate? They are one. The tree and the branch are one. The life of the branch is received from the vine. And the life flows back into the vine. And so, without the vine, that branch cannot be anything. But in that vine, that branch has everything coming in from the... That branch has everything coming in from the vine. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ says... No, the Bible says in Colossians, it pleased God that in him should the fullness of the Godhead dwell. That is, in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God dwelt in him. Now, if the fullness of God dwells in Jesus, and Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, what are we receiving as the branch? Or as the branches? Now, let me stop there. It says, abide in me. You have a choice. You can say, I will abide or I will not abide. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. God is not a dictator. Many a times, you look at the world. This world contains all the nations. The Bible says the nations are like a drop of bucket in his presence. A drop in the bucket, sorry. Now, it contains every human being. And I was discussing with a friend one day, and he says, when he's watching these programs on astronomy and all these things, on the galaxies and everything, he says, this, our earth, is compared to a grain of sand at the beach. When you look at the bad beach and you see a grain of sand, he says, this is how this earth is. That contains all of us in the universe. And this mighty God made all of it. And then his son, who is his own image, express image, says, I'm the vine and you are the branch of me. How many times do I remember this every day? Do I see myself in this light of this truth? That I am now. I'll tell you something. There was a time that I was interested in all these articles about aliens, whether there's life in another planet. And then sometimes you read that. We say, when these aliens come to the Earth, they might destroy the whole Earth. They might be this, they might be that. But then it struck me that this universe, this whole universe, God chose the Earth. God made us one with the one that created everything. So nothing is coming from anywhere that can ever defeat us. We are united with the one who made everything. He's divine, we're the branches. Isn't that such a great consolation? So if they come in with any spacecraft, flying saucer, anything, we have authority over them. We are one with Christ. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Then he goes on to say, we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ. And so, if we spend time on meditating who Christ is, look at this earth. All things were made by him. Look at the sun, the moon, the stars. He made all of them. Now, for me to make this table, the table is smaller than me. Now, even when you look at all these tall buildings, man made them. The egg-shaped one down the road there, the skyscrapers, man made them. But God made the whole universe through Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ is telling you and I today that we and him, he's the branch. He's the vine, we are the branches. So you see, initially it starts with branch. But in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You see, so it's not only one person. He's now taking all of us. And that brings you to another level. If there is a tree and there are so many branches, what is the difference in all of them? They are all one. So you see again that in the body of Christ, there's no distinction. Everybody is one with Christ, and we are one with each other. Now, this is the second phase. First of all, we're one with Christ. Secondly, we're one with each other. Now, if you don't understand that, you'll be fighting yourselves. You'll be angry with yourselves. And Paul used the analogy of a human body. He says, Christ is the head. We are members of his body. So somebody can be the toe. If they stamp on your toe now, it will affect the whole body. Somebody can be the finger. So that's why Paul says, who is hurting and I'm not hurting? Who is going through difficulties and I'm not going through that difficulty? He doesn't see himself as separate from the people. We're all one. So again, in such a situation, if this truth becomes my reality, knowing that I am one with Christ, knowing that I am one with every fellow believer, what will my relationship be with them? What will my relationship be with Christ? But then, in the previous week, last time I had the privilege to share the word, we discussed strongholds, the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every evil imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, this is the knowledge of God. Now, something is telling you this cannot be true. How can I be one with the one who made all things? How can he be the vine and I'm the branch? So you can't think further. And I'll give you an example. Every time they preach that sermon of the woman with the issue of blood, how she struggled through that crowd just to touch the garment of Jesus. And then sometimes they will now pray that you touch his garment. Pray that you touch his garment. So that you can get that solution that woman got. You must have faith. You must have faith. Believe. Then one day it struck me, if I am created in Jesus Christ, if he's the vine and the branch, should I be talking of touching his garment, one that I'm one with? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Can we be struggling to touch the garment of the one that we were created in? Who is the vine and where are the branches? Do you see why now he says, greater works than this you will do? Do you see why he says, the works I do, you will also do? Do you see why he says, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do? Do you see why he says, you cannot do anything without me? Because he's the one who will do that work in you. You have to abide in him. Do you see why this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith? Our faith in who? In that union, in what we have become, partakers of the divine nature. So if you don't see it, it's so easy for you to say, oh, this can overwhelm me. This can destroy me. No, nothing can destroy you. It says, no weapon fashioned against you can prosper. He says, every tongue rising up against you in judgment is your own heritage as my child, to condemn them to destruction. In the Old Testament, it says as a servant. But here now, it says as a child. Now, so your responsibility, abide in me. My words abide in you. And then it says in verse 7, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. So how will I believe that? But you must remember, Jesus Christ didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of him that sent him. Now, can my little finger here be asking for something that is going to separate it from the body? Whatever this little finger is asking for must relate to this whole body. It can't ask for something that will antagonize this body. And so, you see that when he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. You will not ask for anything that is contrary to Jesus. And anything you ask for, he will give you because it is necessary for you. And he knows it and you know it. You are asked in accordance to his will. You know that he hears you. If he hears you, you know that you receive what you ask of him. That's how John puts it. So he now says, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you wish shall be done to you. What are his words? He says, my words are spirit and they are life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So now, we must eat. You are the most religious person. You are the most holy person. So you pray, you fast. But if you fast, you must eat. So now, physical food is necessary to survive on earth. Spiritual food is necessary to survive in the spirit. And so that's why it says, if you don't abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will wither. My Father will cut you off. You will be cast away. There's no room for unfruitfulness. Even in the world, they say nature abhors a vacuum. Now, how do I abide? I remain. Every day I remember I am created in Jesus Christ. I am a new creation being. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm not good enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not this kind of person. No, you are now a new creature. All things have passed away. It must become your reality. You must meditate on it day and night. But the world is telling you that, oh, you are from a poor family. People like you don't make it. You are like this, you are like that. This is this, this is that. It's telling you all kinds of things. You cannot be healed. It's only normal. This kills people. It's killed everybody. There is no cure for this. The one in whom I abide and whose words abide in me, he raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I have received that life. Now, that life is in me. The Bible says, that life of God in me will quicken this my mortal body. He says that life, that word which he's saying, is spirit and it is life. So every time his words abide in me, I meditate on it all the time. I say it all the time. I'm receiving life. It's like eating food. When we eat the food, we chew it, it gets crushed, it goes to the stomach. Digestion, the useful part is taken, the waste is thrown away. It builds the body. From baby, we were taking milk. Today, we are taking meat, we are taking bone, we are taking anything. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We will not go on to desire. That's another topic. So he says, herein is my Father glorified that you shall bear fruit, so shall you be my disciple. So you cannot be a disciple if you are not bearing fruit. Then he goes on to say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, if you don't love something, how does the world put it? The world calls it passion. They will say, if you want to do something, find something you have a passion for. So because you love that thing, nobody's going to tell you, go and do it. You'll be doing it all the time. You'll be doing it. So maybe you have a passion for writing, or you have a passion for arguments. You enter that profession. Now, in this, it says, continue in my love. Stop loving me. I'm your life. Don't ever stop loving me. I'm your life. So as much as every morning I wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, the one by whom all things were made, the one for whom all things were made, the express image of God, the eternal Son of God, I'm raised up with you. I'm seated in heavenly places in you. I am at the right hand of God. It changes your view of yourself. You stop looking to anybody or any situation. You remember who you are. I am a child of the living God. God is my Father. Look at it here. He says, let me quickly read that part. That's in verse 16. In chapter 16, it says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, he shall take of mine. John 16:15. All things that the Father hath are mine. He shall take of mine and show you. All things that the Father hath are mine. So now look at in Romans. It says, you have become children of God. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with God. Now, my father has passed on. None of you can come and share in the inheritance of whatever he left for me. Even if it's a bottle of Coca-Cola, you don't have a right because he's my father. So I'm his child, I have an inheritance. Likewise, our pastor here, his father has passed on. I cannot go and say, oh, because he's my friend or he's my pastor, I want to share the inheritance of his father. It belongs to him. But we have an inheritance with Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We must stop limiting ourselves to the physical. We must begin to think. It says, set your mind on things above where Christ is. That's in Colossians. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we will appear with him in glory. The world cannot love you because you are thinking differently. And you see, if the church does not change to begin to start using this as their foundation, then I will see somebody come in here one day. He's going to drive a very fantastic car. I'll be saying, oh, when will I have that kind of car? He's going to be living in a big house. I'll say, no, all things are mine. But for example now, our sister was telling us of a man who was sitting as a beggar in front of a supermarket. For many months where she was working at Tesco. So this man was like a tramp. One day, he finished his work. He arrested all the drug dealers in that neighborhood. He had sat down there working for the government, gathering information on drug dealing in that neighborhood. But everybody saw him as a tramp. But on finishing his assignment, he went back to his house. I'm sure he has a good salary, he has a comfortable house. But he bore that discomfort because of the work he was called to do by the government of the United Kingdom. Now, we are called to work for Lord Jesus Christ. He came to serve. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sends me. So we too, who are part of him, our meat is to do the will of him that sends him. So we don't have any ambition. Our ambition is to carry out what he wants us to carry out. So if he says, I should go and live in a remote village in a hut in Rwanda, as long as he is with me, if you go with us, we are happy. If you don't go with us, we will not go. So said Moses. As long as he's with me and he's the one leading me, that is where my fullness of joy is. He says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You cannot have any joy in rebellion. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's conditional. If you don't keep that commandment, there is no longer any joy. And that's why many believers, they don't have joy anymore. Search deeply. There's an area where there's disobedience. There's an area where we have stopped abiding. He says, don't let an evil heart of unbelief be in you. Because of this, they could not enter into his rest. Okay. So, he now tells us, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Nobody has a friend with somebody who will not listen to you, who will do opposite of what you said. Love each other. We are all one. I'm one with the Father. The Father is one with me. You too, you are all one with us now. Love each other. He said, no, I will not love my neighbor. He did this to me. He said, no. And if you look at this same Bible, you will notice that the disciples, When he told them, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? He said, seven times. They said, Lord, help us to increase our faith. They saw how hopeless it was. And we're coming to a place. We're now friends of Jesus. We now love one another. We now know that the world hates us. He now tells us, I will send you my Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is the one that will teach you. All these things we are saying, without the Holy Spirit helping us, we can never do it. Because we're in the world, but not of the world. So now, what will the Holy Spirit do? He will teach us in 16:13. John 16, verse 10. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Who will guide us into all truth? It is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all things are yours in Christ. It's divine, you are the branch. You are receiving freely, even though we don't deserve it. The love of God, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now we've received him. We are enjoying the grace. The sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is not there to tell you, this is what you should pray about, this is where you should go tomorrow, like our sister will always pray, you hear a voice behind you, this is the way, go that way. But I'll be honest, many a times I've gone on my own way. But in that love and mercy, he's brought me back again. Just like the prodigal son we shared about this morning. When he came to himself, he said, I will. So you must decide, where am I going away from the Father? Am I on the assignment he has caused me? Now, let's go to the military. No man goes to war at his own expense. That's what the Word of God tells us in Corinthians. Now, you see these young American boys, even Russians, 18, 19, they are flying supersonic fighter jets. One plane might be over $1 billion. Did he build the plane with his own money? No. They provided the plane for him. Did he train himself? No. They paid for his training. Why? Because it's in the service of the government. So God himself is training us. He's teaching us. He's guiding us. He's leading us. He's showing us the way. Why? So that we can be like Christ. We must never forget the ultimate aim. And we are not of this world. So when you see the world beginning to like you, know that there's a problem. You've become like them. But because you stand for the truth, just like our pastor preached this morning, when you speak the truth, they won't like you. When you don't compromise, they won't like you. But because you know what you have been called to, like Sister Mary said, even like the pastor said, there is a prize awaiting us, a mansion. Anything you are enjoying here, think of heaven. Think of that hope. It says hope does not disappoint. That hope that when I live here is going to be for eternity in the presence of the living God. Then think of the opposite. If I compromise here and I fail and I get there and it says, get away from me, I don't know you. What happens? Where is that destination? Sister Faye was telling the children, she said, and I've experienced that when back home, when you're in the traffic and the heat and there's no air conditioner and you are sweating in that car, then the thoughts will come to your head. If I'm so uncomfortable with this kind of heat, what will happen if, God forbid, those who are in the fire for eternity, not for a short period? So she was telling the children that this fire, some of you, she was touching the heating. Some of you say, oh, it's burning me. That this is for eternity, burning for eternity. And just as people feel pain in this physical body, they will feel that pain in their spirits. And it's no stopping. Isn't that enough to check anybody? And look at what God has done. He has put us in his Son. He is the vine. We are the branches. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word engraft means that you were not part of it before. He has grafted you onto it. Then he says, you receive it with meekness. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He has made you one with his Son. And he's guiding over you, leading you, teaching you. Now, all you have to do is to receive. Receive. Abide in me. Let my words abide in you. They asked Jesus, John 6, 29, what shall we do to do the works of God? when they saw how he fed all of them. He said, you are coming to me because of that bread you ate. Truly, many of us came to Jesus not because of we had an ulterior motive. I came because I felt there was so much attack, so many things going on. I didn't want to be killed, so I ran to him. But then when I got there, I discovered that there's more to it than this. So it says, for you to do these works, you must believe in me, John 6:29. Now look at it here. It says, I will send the Holy Spirit in John 16:6-8. When he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. As long as you don't trust God, it is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Because you are a part of his body. You are a member of the body of the living Jesus. So this evening, we must not forget. God is showing us three things. Our relationship with him through his son. He's the husbandman. We and his son are now one. Then our relationship with one another. All of us are now one. We might quarrel. That's why it says forbear with one another in love. Forbear with one another in love. It says don't start devouring each other. And that's the biggest trick of the enemy. Where there's strife, there's every kind of evil. Then, one, our relationship with him, we and the head, who is Christ. Then we and each other. And then, how do we enjoy all these things, put all these things together? The power of the Holy Spirit. I will send you a comforter. So no matter what we're going through, no matter how many people are in the church, all we have to do is to be faithful. As long as we are faithful, he will bless us. On the other hand, it is clear here, if we don't abide, we will not bear any fruit. There's no magic to it. It's conditional. Abide, you bear fruit. Don't abide, nothing. So this day, we remind ourselves of our glorious heritage. What a wonderful blessing. That's why that song, you see how God works, showing us that his spirit is with us. Someone chose that song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. This is what we're enjoying now, that foretaste. But the real thing is still coming. It says, to all the rulers in heavenly places, he will use us to show how great he is. The whole creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And we are the ones. Imagine the whole creation waiting to see us. So this day, don't let anything discourage you. Know that you are a member of the body of Christ and the victory is yours in Christ. So that no matter what we're going through, no matter the trial, we will come out victorious. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for encouraging us today, showing us this great heritage. Help us not to forget it. Help us to keep it before our eyes. And help us to live this life through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.